We're going to start chapter 11 here of the book of Mark, so we're going to continue as we're going through. Like I said, we're going to take a pause September. We're going to begin to craft some vision. Who are we as a church? Who do we want to be as a church? That's coming next month. We're going to take a little break from the gospel before we get into the crucifixion and all that good stuff. But we're going to kind of take a look at who do we want to be as a church? Are we being what Jesus wants us to be as a church? And so we'll get there in September. We'll take a look at that. But here and now, we're still in the book of Mark. So there are people try to get your attention all the time when it comes to advertising. I don't know if you notice this. If you're ever watching a show, people will try to grab your attention by any means necessary, right? So, there's whole like businesses dedicated to making sure that they grab your attention. When you're scrolling through Facebook, like there are certain things that they now do to, if you stop and pause on a video, that's something that, oh, did you, we had somebody stop their scroll, saw our video, and they calculate how much time that you stop on that video, and they're like, oh, what was it? And they, so they, any way to stop, right? So people try all types of visual cues, visual aids to get our attention. So I want to share with you some interesting advertisements, and I want you maybe to see if they're getting the point across to you. So let's go to the front. I want you, what do you think these things are trying to sell you or tell you? Ready? Here we go. What about this one? What do you think this one's trying to sell you or tell you? Any thoughts? What's that? Global warming? Yeah. There's probably something, like maybe the ice caps are melting or the earth's in trouble. It's like a melting ice cream cone, right? What's that? Oh my gosh. All right, here's a good one. Here, what do you think they're trying to tell you in this one? Right? What is it? It's hot, right? So they want you to think that it's hot, right? It's great, like great visual cue, right? They grab your attention. This is a good one. I don't know if you can see this one. This is a little dark. Right? Right? Right. It's like maybe wake up. It's time for coffee. If Tab was here, she'd be saying amen right now. Oh, this is a good one. What do you think here? Like, what is this company trying to tell you? It's tough built, right? Like a rhinoceros. Rhino power. It's one rhino power. That's what it is. By the way, being in the fire school in Lancaster has been very interesting. So I've learned all new words, by the way. Horsepower. That's what I learned. That thing has one horsepower. Okay. Horsepower. Anyway, this is a good one. Take a look at this one. What do you think this? This one kind of drives it home, right? That's a very, if that doesn't get its point across to you, right? If you don't know, that's a symbol of a fetus and made with smoke. So one more. So this is in Spanish, and I think you can get this one, right? What do you think that's trying to tell you? Anybody see something in that picture? Doritos. It's a what? It's a heart, right? Made with sneakers, right? By the way, it says run with heart, by the way. That's what it says. It says run with heart. So, like, people try all types of ways to grab your attention. Advertisers do this. And if something is very... If we see something or are moved by something, we tend to carry that with us a lot longer. And Jesus used this model all the time to make sure that we understood some principles. And today, he used a visual illustration that's going to be very, very powerful today as we look at what he's trying to get his point across. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 11. We are going to be, Jesus finally made it to Jerusalem, right? We're going to be talking about the triumphal entry, but we're actually not going to focus. We were there back in April, so I'm going to very quickly skim over that, and we're going to go to the next day. But just so you know, Jesus is coming in, and we're talking about he's made it into Jerusalem. He's finally made it. 3 years, he finally made it there where everything is going to go down for the next week. So let's get into it. So like I said, I'm not going to walk through every verse for the triumphal entry. There's another section that I want to kind of focus on because we did kind of focus this at Easter time. So starting in verse 8, I know I'm not in 1 through 7, so you can go back and read that. Feel free to read that on your own time. I encourage you to read it on your own time. But let's get into it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached in, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard him say it. And we're going to kind of use this as a jumping off point. So I know I jumped around a good bit, but there's a couple of things I want us to take a look at. First thing is that everything has been leading up to this moment in the book of Mark. The triumphal entry, by the way, all four gospel writers talk about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It was a powerful moment in Jesus' ministry. As Jesus comes in, everybody is shouting and proclaiming how great this moment is, that Jesus is here, he's arrived. His popularity had grown, and now he is at the peak of his popularity. And as he walks into those gates, he comes in and there's people shouting, Hosanna. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Like I said, it's been 3 years that he's been, we followed Jesus for three, in 11 chapters, we followed Jesus for 3 years. And we've seen him, he's healed, he's cured diseases, he's walked on water, he's calmed the storm, he healed a girl, he was transformed. A lot has happened in 3 years. And so he gets into the city and hears these people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, oh my gosh, Jesus is here, right? This is amazing, this is going to be so good." It's an awesome moment, to say the least. Everything has been kind of funneling to this moment. There, now, by the way, it's not without its tension. You're going to see the Pharisees have their own intentions at this time, but it is a grand, amazing moment. Jesus is in his moment. People are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the high." I mean, it is just, the kingdom of David is here. People are pretty excited, to say the least. I'm pretty excited. This would be a great moment to see, right? This would be great. But here's the verse I want you to take a look at. We're not going to focus on the triumphal entry. Right after the triumphal entry is where I want to focus. Because I usually focus this on Easter time, and so I wanted to share. I didn't want to, like, re-preach the same thing. I wanted to take something new from this. And this is the verse where the Lord kind of led me to. Jesus entered the Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around, but it was late. So we always focus, like, the palm leaves come down, and we glorify Jesus and all the grand work, and he comes into the temple, right? Or comes into the streets, but he makes a beeline to the temple courts. And by the time he gets there, whether it's sundown or whatever, he gets there and it's already too late. He's like, "All right, I guess I'll come back tomorrow." His first intention was to get to the temple. That's where his mind was. I got to get to the temple. And so he looked around. It was late. He went out to Bethany to spend the night. Then the next day, as they're leaving Bethany, he sees this fig tree. He goes to find fruit. He doesn't find any, and he curses it, and we're going to see what happens to it. Jesus is going to use an example that is going to get everybody's attention. Now, if you don't know what happens to the fig tree, they're going to find out that when they go back the next day, it's what? It's dead. So, by the way, I couldn't find a fig tree, which I'm a little upset about this, but I couldn't, but I didn't kill this, by the way, just so you know. I didn't, the kids broke this, okay, this week, all right? So the kids broke this week. And for all my environment people, I didn't go out and cut down a branch, okay? So the kids at Michael had already cut this down, okay? But this is the example that Jesus wanted you to see. A dead, withered, broken tree. He uses this as an example. I want to make the case this morning that this represents something profound in Jesus' ministry. The fact that he went to the temple courts first, goes to the temple, comes out, sees this tree, and we're going to follow this story as it progresses. Because you're going to see the fig tree is going to be the example of the temple. He goes to the temple, this grand, you got to know, you have to understand from a Jewish perspective what the temple represented. The temple was where God's presence, like his presence manifested. In that one room in the inside of the temple, the Holy of Holies, God's presence came in that moment one time a year, right? And that's where everyone wanted to be close to that moment. In fact, Jewish people still today, being that the temple's been gone for 2,000 years or whatever, close to 2,000 years, they still won't go to the Dome of the Rock because they don't know where the Holies of Holies is and they don't want to happen to stand in the place where God's presence was manifested. They're still kind of like nervous about that. We don't want, so if you talk to a Jewish person, a more devout Jewish person will never set foot in the Temple Mount or the Dome, excuse me, in the Dome of the Rock because they don't want to happen to enter into the Holies of Holies and where the God's presence was so manifested here on earth. Amazing stuff. And so Jesus is going to use this to talk about the temple. Why? The fig tree. It looks great, but when you get close, it has nothing to offer you. Right? What looks so good, when he reached in, had zero. Now, I know you're going to see it's kind of harsh, right? It wasn't season for figs, and Jesus is looking for figs. There was actually these little figs that grew on the trees, these small little pre-figs. They were edible. Jesus was hungry. He's going to the tree, and was expecting something out of it because it was in leaf. Remember, it looks great. It looks grand. And when he reaches in, it doesn't have what it's supposed to have or saying it has. Does that sound familiar to anything else that Jesus has already been looking at that looks great but is barren when you get pretty close? Let's take a look. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. You see, the temple, guess what? It looked great, but when you got close, it was barren. Like, the temple was God's presence here on earth. And it looked great from a distance. You could see it from everywhere in Jerusalem. It was this grand building, and it was beautiful. Ezra had built this beautiful temple, right? Nehemiah built the walls and the second temple. Herod then put more money to it. It was this grand thing, but when you got inside, it was dead. And when you got to the temple courts, what should have been, like, you're entering the presence of God, and when Jesus got there, like, God shows up to his own house and doesn't like it. Like, just think about this for a moment. Like this building was dedicated to him, and he gets there. He goes, this doesn't look like at all what I want it to be. And he starts driving them out. What looked so good far away when you got close was awful. And so Jesus is using the fig tree as an example of the temple. It looked so good, but when you got close, it was dead. Jesus is pretty good at illustrations. He's pretty darn good. And so this was an example. This is an example of what we're not called to be, right? When you get, like, it looks really good on the outside, but when you get close, it's what? It's dead. And there's no life to it. There's no, by the way, thanks, Michael, but guess what? These leaves, there's nothing that's going to bring this back. I could try to graft this, but it's been too long. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to save this tree. We can say sayonara to this one. In fact, Jesus says, like, you're good for nothing other than to be thrown right into the fire and maybe provide some kindling. That's the best thing that you're going to do. So we're gonna close the door on this. And by the way, if this represents you right now, we need to have a conversation. If it looks really good on the inside, but on the outside, but on the inside it's void of life, we need to have a conversation this morning because Jesus is the one. He saw this and was like, this is not what I want. This is not what we're called to be. In fact, we're called to be so much grander. So we can close the door on that thing. So what did Jesus want us to be? That's my question. What did he want us to do, to know? What is something that I want you to carry with you? Because that is not what this morning we are not called to be dead, lifeless trees. That's not it. We're called to be something more. Mirrors, on the other hand, by the way, thank you, Amy. I was trying to find a mirror. I called a lot of people this morning. Amy came through for a mirror for me this morning. Mirrors are very interesting things. Mirrors only reflect that which you put into them. But I know, like what color is a mirror? Like, do you ever think, like, what, like, what's that? See-through. Yeah, they are kind of see-through. You can actually see right into the reflective coating on the inside. You're absolutely right. The glass is. But mirrors are an interesting thing. They only show you what you put into them. They're a true reflection. They show you. It's not like they change it. There are some mirrors that do that, but not this one. This shows you that you put into that, right? Right? Not this one. This one's going to show you whatever you put into. That's why if you ever, like, look up Home Depot, like, they have a hard time trying to figure out, like, what color a mirror. Like, when you shop for mirrors online, they don't know what to put on the mirror face. Like, oh, I guess it's blue, right? Like, we don't, like, silver, gray? I don't know. Like, mirrors just show. All they do is reflect light back at you. So they're true in the sense that whatever goes in is what comes back at you. I'm going to desire to use this as a much better example than this. Because what we're called to be is that reflects what is true, what is right, and what looks a lot like Jesus. A mirror. Look right there. Look at the giant one that we have right there. Mirror. So as we continue, I wanted to take a look at this because I want us. Oh, I gotta get back to my thing. I want us to take a look. Do I still have it? There we go. Jesus knew that the temple did not reflect his Father. He knew that it didn't reflect him. It looked nothing like what he desired for his life, his ministry, and the 3 years that he had spent. It was just a facade. It was good on the outside, but on the inside it was dead. And I'll tell you, the one thing that drives Jesus crazy is hypocrites. That's why he was so angry with the Pharisees. You guys are like the top of the, you guys know your Bible. You guys know your stuff. You're the top dog when it comes to any type of religious discussion. But on the inside, you're dead. It drove Jesus nuts. And he goes to the temple and like, this is my house? This greedy, ugly, it looks nothing like my Father. And he starts to, in fact, what we know is he actually drives them out. He drives them out with a cord of nine tails. It actually says, that's crazy. Jesus wants us to be a true representation of the Father, right? To be what goes in is what comes out. Like, what you see is true. Like, if Jesus goes in, Jesus should be what's reflected back out at those around us. This is what we're called to be. And that's why Jesus is going to move in the sense the temple will no longer be where God's presence is manifested. Jesus had checked out of the temple a long time ago. Like, you know what? I'm done with that. In fact, the new temple will be somewhere even better. It will be inside of you. That's the place where God's presence manifested. The holies of holies now does not reside in a place that resides in people. That the Holy Spirit now takes up residence inside of us. And what comes in is called to reflect that which comes out. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And so I want us to be people who reflect some values, reflect some things. Not dead, ugly, gross trees, but to reflect the true temple of Jesus. And so this morning, there we go, that one's a little. This morning, I want us to reflect some things. But in order to get there, maybe this morning you're realizing I'm maybe more aligned with this than I do with this. And so let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to do a work today. Because I want us to leave here looking a lot more like Jesus than a broken, dead, ugly, fading, wiltering tree. Let's pray. Lord, guide us today as we seek to be more like you. Allow what, Lord, as your presence, as your power, as your word comes in, Lord, let that be what comes out of our mouths, comes out of our thoughts, comes out of the works of our hands. Lord, let what is true to be reflected in the world around us. Guide us this morning. Lead us this morning. And by the power of your presence, be that which you would desire for us. To be true reflections of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. What do I want you to reflect this morning? A couple things. Don't take my word for it. Jesus already said it. If you follow through the chapter, you can find it yourself. The first thing he wants us to do is reflect faith. First thing. Look, in the morning, they went along. So this is, Sunday, he gets there, it's too late. Monday gets up, finds the fig tree, curses it, goes to the temple, drives the people out, right? Goes back to Bethany. Third day, right? So what is that? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. On Tuesday, Jesus is now coming back into Jerusalem, and this is what they find. They saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. 24 hours, Peter. By the way, if you know anything about gardening, fig trees are pretty big, and they're bearing fruit. They've been there for a while. This didn't look like this. This is an actual tree. It takes a lot longer for a tree to die, even if it's had some type of root rot or something. It's going to take a little while, not 24 hours. For the fact that this thing to die and wither from the roots in 24 hours was almost a miracle in itself. And so Peter gets there. He goes, this is crazy. This thing's dead, right? And what's Jesus' answer? Oh, I know. Oh, it's a reflection of the temple. No, he says, have faith. Have faith in God. Don't worry about the tree. Have faith in God. Look, amazing. Amazing. The tree represented the temple, and by the way, which will be gone just as shortly. For those of you who know that your history, the temple gets destroyed in 70 AD. If you want a very enlightening read, you can read Josephus' words on what happened at the siege of Jerusalem. It was not pretty. Rome had finally had enough of Herod, had enough of the Jewish kind of workaround with their, they were skirting taxes, and there was already turmoil in 33 AD. Add that on a couple more years, the next thing you know, there's a revolt. Rome comes in, sieges the city, kills everybody in the city. And what they do is they destroy the temple. That's when Jesus said, hey, not a stone will be standing. He meant it. He knew that the temple was going to be gone. In fact, if you go to Rome, this arch of Titus, is sitting there in Rome. Now, it doesn't really, by the way, it was built in 80 AD, 10 years after the siege of Jerusalem. It's still standing today. In fact, if you take a look very closely on it, you can actually see they carved them carrying items out of the temple. That's a menorah that was actually in the temple. And when they carved that, they actually showed things coming out. This is sitting in Rome. Why is there a Jewish picture in Rome? Well, it's because they sieged Jerusalem and they took things from the temple and they recorded it here. This whole arc is really just Jesus' words coming true. Hey, not a single stone will be standing. This temple will be dead and gone. And I could care less. It means nothing to me. I'm onto something grander. I'm onto something better. By the way, there it is. I don't know if you can see the menorah there. From now on, God would reside in a brand new temple. It wouldn't be a building. It wouldn't be something grand. It will be you. Think about that just for a moment. Just think about that. Oh, sorry. Think about that. There. I just woke up some of you. Think about that for a moment. And so have faith. This is what he says. I want you to have faith in God. Like I said, the temple wasn't on Jesus' radar. Right? He didn't care about the temple. But he cared about your temple to have something that was very, very important. Faith. Right? Look, Jesus has already said it. Mark 2, right? They see the man coming through the roof. Jesus was amazed at his what? His faith, right? Mark 4. What does he say to his disciples? Don't you have any what? Did Jesus talk about the temple? Nope. He's talking about faith. Mark chapter 5, right? Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. When the woman knew what was happening to her, came and fell at his feet trembling, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith. What do you believe? Have faith in God. Peter's like, dude, this tree, man. He's like, don't worry about the tree. Right? What I'm worried about is, what do you have faith in? God's faithfulness. that God is going to be there, that no matter what, God is going to prove himself to be faithful, that you don't have to worry about it, that he will come through. No matter your circumstances, God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Right? Oh, yeah, by the way, remember when Jesus couldn't do anything because people's lack of faith? Jesus talked a lot more about faith than he did the temple. And he wants you to reflect that faithfulness. Right? And he, by the way, and even if all my doomsayers, even if there's a third temple, guess what? It's not going to matter to Jesus, by the way. For all my people, like my eschatology people, like, oh, that third temple, who cares? Let him build the third temple. Who cares? But guess what? God's not going to be there. He's not going to reside in it. He's already given up on the temple because he has a new temple in you. And you carry God's faithfulness with you. In all seasons, in all circumstances, you're called to carry that faith. Have faith in God. So, the first thing, when the going gets tough, what do we reflect? Trouble? Frustration? God's going to abandon me? Oh my gosh, like what are you doing, right? We stare up at the sky screaming. What do we reflect? Jesus says have faith. Number two, reflect forgiveness. Let's continue. Keep going. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Okay? So he says, number one, have faith. Number two, forgive. Right? These two things. He says, look at this fig tree. It's broken. It's withered. It's disgusting. It's nasty. It's all fading over. It's this ugly, nasty, gross thing. Here you go. Here you go, Felicity. Here you go. You can hold this for me. Here you go. Thank you. You are our living illustration of a dead tree. There you go. There you go. So here's what I want you to know, right? What Jesus wants you to know is that there will be a new covenant. There will be a new covenant, a new promise to all his people, a new promise that he's going to extend to every single person in this room and in everybody in this planet, a new promise that he's going to make, that people will be forgiven no matter what. That no, if you come to him, like we just saw, she was sentenced 15 years for her friends killing somebody, right? Right. Every single one of us would be like super uneasy if that lady came in that room. Oh my gosh, she killed somebody, right? If Moses came in here, you'd be like, don't hang out. Would you put Moses down in the kids ministry? Like, would you? Probably not, right? Like, did you hear his resume? Did you see what he did? Oh my gosh, right? No, I'm not saying we abandon values and not keep our kids. Poor Felicity, I'll hold. Arms getting tired. Thank you. Like, I'm not saying we abandon our principles, but the reality is that we are people who can be forgiven no matter what. That's the promise that we have in God. The new covenant says so. For those who repent, we are forgiven. Look, this is what he says. Look. I'm sorry. I want to counter that forgiveness. I'm messing up the place. I want to counter that with, look at the people who were there at the temple. Right? The new covenant was going to be forgiveness. But the people who were already at the temple, look at their hearts. The chief priests and teachers began to find a way to kill Jesus. He came in here. He drove the people out. Kill him. He's done. Let's get rid of him. Right? Maybe this is how we deal with people in our lives. I don't know. Just cut them off. Right? Instead, Jesus says, look at the tree. Have faith. And number two, forgive. Forgive. We are called to reflect God's heartbeat, all situations, all seasons. That means that we can be forgiven no matter what you've done. If you walked in here and there's something that you've done or had done to you, it is time to either forgive that person or it's time for yourself to be forgiven as well. That is the promise that we have of Jesus. There's going to be something so much better than the temple. People went to the temple and they found it empty and barren. People come to Jesus and they find life. They find faith and they find forgiveness. Two things. That's what we're called to reflect. Final point. Here we go. Point three, we reflect home. Let's take a look. Jesus walks up to the tree. You might think he's probably pretty harsh, right? Oh, let me go back. There we go. Jesus looks a little harsh, probably because he walks up this tree. He realizes it's not in season. He goes, he kills the tree, right, in a matter of like seconds, right? In 24 hours, it's dead. But you have to understand where Jesus is coming from. You have to understand literally where he came from and why this matters. Revelation 22 says, the angel showed me a river, according to John, where the water of life is clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And down the middle of the street was the street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are made for the healing of the nations. That's home for Jesus, by the way. Like, where did Jesus come from? There's a tree, it's alive, and it gives fruit every month. Every month, right? Jesus walks up to this tree, he's hungry, he's like, I want to eat, right? He reaches, it looks great, he goes to grab it, there's nothing in it. And he's like, wait a minute, where I come from, man, there's trees that give fruit every month, right? Oh, and the leaves, these dead things, provide healing for the nations. Like, that's where Jesus' home is. Like, that's what he's used to. And he wants our lives to reflect a little bit of heaven on earth so that we can experience these types of things, right? Right? It was gorgeous. It's amazing. It's home, right? Did you guys ever, like, go away? I don't know. There are people that, like Emma, right? Emma, you're, like, leaving the area, but there are people that leave even further, right, that can't get some of the foods that you get around here. Is there anything that you, like, can't have back there? Is there anything that you miss? Okay, there we go. Perfect example, right? So, like, by the way, just so you know, care package to Emma, Wawa hoagies, just dry ice, by the way, right? Dry ice. I'm trying here, Emma. I'm doing my best, all right? But, like, if you've ever, like, by people who are transplants, like, up here from the south, there are things that when you taste, you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm home, right? Oh, my gosh. Like, some of you guys, if you move out of the Scrapple. I don't understand the Scrapple. You guys and your Scrapple, I don't get it. But, like, people, like, want that Scrapple, and they are like, oh, my gosh, it's so good, right? It's a little bit of home. It's a little bit of home of wherever you are. Jesus walks up to this tree and realizes it's nothing like home. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't look like my home. It doesn't. This thing is barren. It looks really good, but on the inside it's dead. That's not where I'm from. Where I'm from, this tree would be huge, spanning both sides of this amazing river that is crystal clear, and it would give its fruit every month. It was called to reflect his home. And this is what he got. This is what he wanted, right? Jesus wants our lives to reflect his home. Right? That's what he wants. He said, may it be on earth as it is in where? Heaven, right? We thank you. Felicity, that's what I'm talking about. Felicity, that's what I'm talking about. Look, she gets it. She gets it. Look, out of the mother children, she gets it. She gets it, right? Our lives are called to reflect heaven. That means the goodness and the glory and the healing. Look what just comes from a tree. Healing of the nations, fruit every month that is satisfying and amazing and so good is what we're called to reflect. Can't make this stuff up. I'm just reading right from the book here, people. That's all I'm doing. Reflect home. By the way, Paul has already told you, this is not your home. You're just visiting here. You're alien and strangers in a foreign land, according to Peter as well. But what is where your true citizenship is in heaven. And we're called to reflect the values of heaven, to reflect home. So maybe it's time to give people like a Wawa hoagie, right, according to Emma, right, to allow people to experience where you're from, right? And by the way, I'm sure Emma has tried to explain to people how good a Wawa hoagie is, and they're all like, oh, man, Sheetz is so awesome, right? Right? That's what they do. Right? They're like, oh, man, Sheetz is so much better. And you're like, no, Wawa is where it's at, which, by the way, I have to admit, I've been fully converted to Wawa living here. It's just it's where it's at. Susan, do you agree? You were formerly a Sheetz person, right? Now she's a Wawa person. See? It's heaven on earth. That's how this works, people. So next time you walk into Wawa, just know that's what heaven's going to be like, just so you know. We are called to reflect home and allow other people to experience the goodness of home. And so what does that mean? We show faith, we show forgiveness, and we are people that reflect the values of heaven here on earth. I just don't want a colossal disappointment. I don't want people to come up to us. My biggest fear is that somebody would come up to one of us and desire to experience the goodness of Jesus. And what they find is this. When in reality, they should see this. Jesus beaming off of us and experiencing his goodness. With that being said, I'm going to invite the worship team up because this is the greatest place for communion right now. If we're called to reflect Jesus, we better know what he's about. And in order to do that, communion is no better place to experience his sacrifice and his forgiveness. His faithfulness and his forgiveness that's poured out over us.